Don't let fear beat your faith. Keep open your mind. There's a bigger picture for us to see. Just open your eyes. So many people in my city, out in Oakland and died. Before this COVID-19, bullets flew from the fire. Medical apartheid, they separating us all by our race. And the lawyers and judges ain't no different, all on the case. Bad breaks, several mistakes, keep us all at risk. We're conditioned to accept it, to get used to this. They put that money in our face, that's what we chase home. No matter how rich you get, you can't replace me. Saying I love my black people ain't pulling a race card. Just reminding our blacks that they beautiful. Even when our face fall, lock us up in jails and throw away the keys. Give us a religion and force us to believe. Rather die on my feet than live life on my knees. We overcame slavery, we could fight this disease. I'ma keep my faith over fear. I'ma keep my love over hate. You can keep that hate over there. I'ma get prepared and not scared. I'ma keep my faith over fear. I'ma keep my love over hate. You can keep that hate over there.
Good morning, podcast audience, and welcome to the Friday morning podcast on Saturday morning. Just trying to keep you on your toes. Hey, we're going to start off with two interesting pieces of business coming out of the National Postal Mail Handlers headquarters. And the first one deals with the retro pay that we're all expected to receive the last check of this month. Okay, let's talk about the money. Here's the update on retroactive pay. I'm going to read to you directly from the National Postal Mail Handlers Union homepage. An update on retroactive pay. The retroactive pay due under the terms of the 2019-2022 NASA agreement will be included in the October 30th, 2020 paychecks. There are multiple variables that determine how much any one employee will receive. So they're letting you know everybody's going to receive different amounts. The retroactive general wage increase period was November 23rd, 2019 through April 24th, 2020. The retroactive period for the March COLA increase was February 29th, 2020 through April 24th, 2020. Retirees receive retroactive pay for the hours that they were actually employed and worked from November 23rd, 2019 until their retirement date, if that date was prior to April 24th, 2020. This check was sent to their last office of record. The amount an employee received was based on the following: actual hours worked, step and level of pay during the retroactive pay period. For example, a level 5 Step P employee will not receive the same pay as a level 4 Step A employee. Overtime hours worked. Any shift differential worked, such as Sunday premium, night differential, etc. Leave hours paid, LWOP hours used. So those are some of the variables that's going to determine how much everyone will receive on this check on October 30th. And again, everyone's amount will probably be different. Now, the next piece of business coming out of the National Postal Mail Handlers Union headquarters is an arbitration decision that should make a difference in a lot of MHA's career and right now their immediate work life. First, I want to congratulate Paul Harogian, Michael Hora, June Harris, John Gibson, David Elkin, Lawrence Sapp, and Don Sesby for bringing home a arbitration decision that should benefit mail handlers, whether you're MHA or not. And the memo reads as follows. National arbitration decision, MHA discipline not carried over to career positions. We are extremely pleased to announce that the National Postal Mail Handlers Union has prevailed in its national arbitration against the Postal Service over whether the Postal Service may consider or rely upon discipline issued to an MHA if that employee is later being disciplined after he or she has been converted to career. The key conclusion of arbitrator Dodd's award is that former MHAs who were converted to career positions start afresh for discipline purposes. A complete copy of the award is attached. Central to this decision was Arbitrator Das' finding that MHAs who convert to career status are hired as new employees. Moreover, while the parties did expressly set out in the national agreement those limited circumstances in which an employee's time as an MHA does carry over upon conversion, the parties did not provide for carrying over of the disciplinary record. In short, when the parties wanted time as an MHA to carry over conversions, they did so expressly. For those reasons, Arbitrator Das concluded that discipline issued to an employee while employed as a non-career mail handler assistant MHA may not be considered or cited in determining whether to issue discipline to that employee after his or her conversion to full-time career status. Only one narrow exception exists in this new rule. In the rare case where an MHA's disciplinary removal is pending at the time set for conversion to career status, that removal process must be completed before the employee may be converted to career. Please do not hesitate to contact the National Office should you have any questions. Again, standing ovation to the National Executive Office and officers. Outstanding job on prevailing on this arbitration. So, mail handlers, it's important now that when our national office prevails in arbitration, that we apply it, because if not, we just wasted a lot of time. And what I mean by that are the MHAs newly converted or MHAs that will be converted, let's ensure that the discipline is taken out of their OPF. Now, I know some people like to say, let's leave it in there, and then we can get them for procedurally defective discipline. But why play? Take it out as per the arbitrator's decision, and then let's move forward. Outstanding job, National Headquarters. And on another cheerful note, I'd like to say happy retirement to my sister from New York. I call her New York, a.k.a. Denise Mitchell. She had a retirement party for, they had a retirement party for her today, and it was awesome. But Denise, I wish you nothing but the best, my sister, nothing but the best. We also had a celebration for one of our senior mail handlers, Brother Joe Clark. Brother Joe Clark was in the post office before most of you were not just born, were thought about. Yeah, he's been around for a while. I think he has 67 years of service or something to that effect. But again, congratulations, Joe. And if you know Joe, Joe has the mobility and the spunk about him that I hope I can maintain right now. Nevertheless, should I reach his age? Well, congratulations to you, Joe. An outstanding example to set or to show on what a postal career can be. Now let's move out of the National Postal Mail Handlers area, which had nothing but accolades on this show this morning, and let's talk about the APWU. It appears that under the direct instructions of the senior plant MDO, that clerks are being forced to work more than 60 hours. Now, let me tell you something, APWU members. I've talked to a few presidents today. I've talked to some folks in the APWU organization, and you have a contract. Article 8, paragraph G, items 1 and 2, that tell you the 60 hours is your max.
60.
Now, if I were you, I would make sure I communicate with my union, because I got to tell you, more clerks than not raised this issue, showed concerns for this. But I want to tell you, when I started to research, because if you bring it to me and I can help, I'm going to help, I received the answer that you needed from your Tour 1 steward, Melissa, Tour 1 North Dock. That's where I got the answer from. So I'm simply going to say to you, if I can contact Melissa and get that answer instantly, why can't you do that? So here's a case where your union is already aware, and again, maybe the union got to do a better job of communicating it also, but seek these answers. Go to your union reps. And I know most of you on both sides of the house may not have a high level of comfort with doing that, but that's got to be where you start. And in this case, if you would have started there, a lot of people would have been saved a lot of aggravation. Now, I understand that the senior lead don't seem to care a lot about your contract, Article 8G, but you need to make him understand that. See, mail handlers, we're a little different, but we don't have that 60-hour clause in our national agreement, but you do. And I want to say to you, if you don't want to work over 60 hours, then you need to contact your union, because I am of the understanding that once you hit 60 hours, if it is a Wednesday or Thursday and you are actually scheduled to work on Friday, then you are going to receive administrative pay for that. And I'm going to tell you something. Please, please, please double check this with your union, because if you stand firm on that, then the post office will adjust their schedule. But if you allow them to force you to work over 60 hours, again, we are instructed that the only time it's okay to refuse a direct order, if it's a safety issue and someone may get harmed. Well, your union has determined that 60 hours is the most you should be directed to work without you reaching some kind of safety level. So you have safety on your side if you don't. But again, I am not telling anyone to disregard or not follow direct orders, but I'm going to tell you, if it's a safety concern, then by postal regulations, you are within your rights not to adhere to that order. And if you don't believe me, and please don't, go ask your union. I see clerks kind of stressing out on Wednesday because they're being forced to work 60 hours and they've got Thursday, Friday off. I'm sorry, they're being asked to work 7 days a week. They've got Thursday, Friday off, and they have appointments or whatever set up for one of their days off. Now the senior lead wants to force them to work 7 days. Well, simple mathematics, folks, because I'm not trying to impress you like I'm some mathematical scholar. If you are a clerk and you are asked to work 7 days a week at 12 hours, that's 84 hours in a week. If you have a contract, Article 8G, that says they can't force you to work over 60 hours, well, that's a 24-hour gap that the post office needs to figure out. Now, again, if you are volunteering to work over 60, then by all means do so. But check with your union, because I'm almost certain if you hit your 60-hour mark and you still have work hours within your tour, within bid for that pay period, they're going to compensate you. Now, again, that is the way in which I remember it. That is the way in which it was always dictated to the best of my knowledge. But I encourage you to make sure you talk to your union. Follow their guidance based on what I'm telling you. And if you don't want to work over 60 hours and you are a clerk, then you need to make that known and make that known consistently. Now, again, talk to your stewards, talk to your presidents, APWU members. Don't be bamboozled into something that puts you in an unsafe work atmosphere.
I was standing there talking
James
to him,
Schaefer,
and he told me this out of his own mouth. This is what he said. Now, I had a conversation with the plant manager, and he's told me that I could tell you that he said, bear with him for 2 weeks until the holiday help relief gets
here. Columbus seems to be more impressed with firing than maintaining. And I think it's just God-awful. We are in a pandemic. We are crying every day. Not we, they are crying every day
not enough people to work, but yet you want to take the opportunity to fire people? Now, let me say, because I want to quantify what I just said. Right now, it is more important that you have employees at work than you have employees
God
who are being terminated.
You should actually show them
and
something.
If that employee is borderline during a pandemic, that should be enough for you. Because you got to think, if you have an employee who has attendance problems, you know, first of all, why would you even address that during a liberal leave policy in which PSEs and MHAs are specifically named as these rights are extended to them also? But nonetheless, because we are with special folks in Columbus, Ohio, they go after employees for attendance. Well, if that employee was coming to work 3 days a week, that's better than no days a week during this time period. Does that make sense? Now you are already short. So now your senior lead MDO wants to put the mandate out that we only want the best of the best. That doesn't make sense right now. Sometimes able bodies, warm bodies, are better than no bodies at all. I'm going to bring this podcast to a close, but I want to close by telling you, anybody in Columbus, Ohio, receiving discipline for attendance or receiving discipline or being harassed because they're not working 6 days a week, 10 hours a day, or they're not working 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. Let me tell you something, and that something is a little thing we call disparity in treatment. Columbus, Ohio is famous for that. And if your stewards want to really protect the craft, one thing I want to say to you, and just always remember that, remember this, Columbus, Ohio management can't do anything or won't do anything evenly across the board. There are always deals made, special provisions made, because you have so much friendship, nepotism, family intertwined inside that tour, inside every tour, that issuing one set of rules and applying them to everybody is something that's foreign to postal management. So unions, you know, you have to be aware of this. And if employees are receiving PDIs or whatever, ask to see the comparison records. And I guarantee you, 9 times out of 10, or let's make it easy, 10 times out of 9, you're going to find Columbus, Ohio is showing favoritism to somebody else, and I'm a firm believer. If it's good enough for one, then it should be made available to all. Have a great day. To you when I talk to you. KHP, that's it for today.